Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
On Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. As we finish up this hour, we got a lot of good quarterback conversations to get to. And then after this, Tiki, as we've said a few times throughout the show, we got to mosey on down, hop in the Uber. Tiki's picking up the bill. He doesn't know that yet, but he will.
Ultimately, Spitz is picking up the bill.
That's true.
Or whoever at Westwood One is picking up the bill.
Yep. Dodge cars and dodge traffic and get to JFK, hop on a flight to San Antonio, and spend a couple of days down there in the great state of Texas for the Final Four, which we will bring to you here on Tiki and Tierney. Looking forward to it. So it's been a good show so far. You know, we hinted at this a few times. The way Johnny Manziel is trying to craft a comeback.
Yeah.
Is very, very savvy.
Agreed.
Very savvy.
Look, he's done everything right, BT, because his initial stint in the National Football League, we were intrigued because, man, this guy was awesome at Texas A&M. He won the Heisman Trophy. Is it going to translate? I know he's a bad boy, but I just want to see him get a shot. And he derailed himself. He knocked his own wind out of his own sail and ultimately got pushed out of the league, was dormant all last year, had, you know, issues with alcohol, drugs, everything, depression, bipolar disorder, whatever, all of those things. But now the messaging feels right, right? He's saying all the right things. He went and got professional help. He got married a couple months ago, and now he's getting a shot because of friendships or relationships or just being opportunistic to get in front of scouts again, which is really hard to do when you've become a little bit of a pariah in the league. You know what I mean? People don't want to see you. Mm-hmm. But he goes and throws at San Diego, looks pretty good. He goes and throws at Texas A&M, and now off of that one, we get these reports that the New England Patriots have some interest.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one team in the National Football League that can take a problem child and turn him into a serviceable player. Mm-hmm. It's the New England Patriots.
You know what's interesting? He's doing a really effective job, and I'm sure this has been plotted out by his team. He's effectively using the news cycle to his advantage, unlike when it destroyed his, or he destroyed, yes, his career. It was really used against him with all the pictures and all the things you referenced, the alcohol, the drugs, and just a litany of issues off the field that really made you worry for his life,
yeah,
actually.
And right.
It was seemingly that dire, but it's kind of trickling out. You know, San Diego, all right, you know, non-scholarship school, they play in the Pioneer League, you know, in terms of the big picture, relatively inconsequential. Mm-hmm. It's not big-time football. 13 scouts show up. Did 13 show up for Johnny Manziel? Did 9 show up for some receiver they had that's a project? I don't know. But he got, you know, shakes off the rust, and now, oh, what do you know? Here's A&M. Let's all 32, because A&M's talent's better.
Right.
You got 32 teams well-represented now. Every team's there to watch him. Are they there to watch Johnny? I don't know. Probably a little bit of both, but certainly they've got some great NFL pedigree being in the SEC.
And Jimbo Fisher's not going to shy away from an opportunity to get some national spotlight on a program he just took over.
That's fair. That's fair. It also gives him a little goodwill in the state.
Yep.
You know, because no matter what anybody thinks about Johnny Manziel outside of the spectrum of Texas, in that area, you know, in College Station, he is a legend. It doesn't matter what he does,
you're right,
the rest of his existence, even if he, God forbid, really goes off the rails again and never recovers, he is a hero, and that is, I mean, forever. I mean, he's been knighted. He's been sainted out there in Texas A&M. So, and then there's the, you know, Tiki just said, Patriots, they're talking, there's possibly some interest. I've got a situation I want to lay on you here. All right, let's say this continues to go in a favorable direction.
Okay.
All right? And let's say he somehow has two offers. Just something which probably seems a little unrealistic,
mm-hmm,
and not big money offers. Basically, you come make the team, we'll give you $800,000,
yeah,
whatever the vet minimum is, whatever. And one of the offers is the Pats. And he's got a chance to go and learn under Brady, you know, get himself further, even more regimented under Belichick and,
yep,
the great system, and become a champion and learn how to comport himself like one. Maybe not become a champion, but certainly, yep, go in the direction that champions travel, knowing how the Patriots handle business. But unless Brady, God forbid, you know, has a real injury, he's never going to see the football field. That's the one offer. Or another team that might not be able to properly insulate him, you know, not coach him up, not teach him, not protect him, not get him from point A to point B to point C, but the ability to play is there.
Yeah.
What's the better move?
Well, if I'm Johnny, I don't know if Johnny Manziel is going to be ready to play football next year in the NFL. First of all, I don't know if he's ever going to get a shot. I've been lukewarm about him getting a shot. And it's to be determined. I'm sure the New England Patriots are curious, just like everybody is curious. And given that they're already there at Texas A&M's pro day to scout whoever is at Texas A&M, we get a chance to talk to. Let's have a conversation with Johnny. No harm, no foul.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it goes well. At least they wanted to get an understanding. But I'm not sure that Johnny Manziel could walk into a football training camp right now and assume a starting role. I mean, maybe he could do it, just like you or I or anyone else could do it who had played the sport. But I don't know if he's ready for that. So if I'm Johnny, I want to go someplace where I'm going to learn the craft. I'd go to New England because I know I'm going to get an opportunity to grow. I know that I'm going to learn under the best. And I know that having Tom Brady as not a mentor, because I don't think Tom Brady mentors the guys below him. And in fact, I think the reports are that he goes out of his way not to do that. But just by osmosis, being around the process, you learn a little bit. And Tom's not going to play forever. Now, it may not be the perfect situation for him. Like, he's not going to get a chance to play, even if Tom Brady gets hurt because Brian Hoyer is still there. Or even after Tom retires, it might not be the right thing for him. But if he gets... if he does all the right things under Bill Belichick in New England, then the question marks are gone.
Yes.
And so you don't have to worry about, well, what if, or this question, or that question, or another question. If you go and you exist in New England and you do all the right things, you stay under the radar, you're not a maniac, then you're effectively back in. And if he goes somewhere else... your other point, go somewhere else where there's not an insulation, he goes and hangs out, he gets in trouble, then he's done.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'd go the place where I can be insulated. And by the way, I'm Johnny, I'm 25 years old. There isn't as much of an urgency to go play now as it is, as I think some people think there is for him because he's been out of the game for a year.
You know, I'm with you on this. I think that the natural inclination for anybody, you know, if we ask them the question, you know, go where I have a chance to play.
Mm-hmm.
But really, if he was able to go there, and even if he didn't take a meaningful snap in the regular season, a little third string work during the summer. You're right. Hoyer's number two. Brady's not going to play. But actually, he'd probably play a lot because Brady's not going to play at all during the summer.
You're right.
Just make sure you get him to week one in one piece. And he's able to go through 5 months on the calendar with certainly no arrests, no flare-ups, no missing of meetings, no... you know, the waking up the alert on your phone, 3:12 in the morning, Johnny Manziel pulled over, Johnny did this. If he could just blend in and almost be largely anonymous in the football sense for a year, that laboratory would probably enable, if he's got the requisite talent, which we're still not sure about.
But we're still curious about.
But we are still curious, which is why he's still a topic of conversation. Yeah. That's probably the more prudent path.
And here's why, especially, because you just said it, BT. In New England... he can be anonymous. Yes, he'll be on the team, but that story is Tom Brady. I don't care who else is on the squad. Rob Gronkowski, whoever it is they go get this offseason, whoever they draft, it doesn't matter. The story is going to be Tom Brady. Wherever else Johnny Manziel goes, if he goes to, I don't know, say Houston, the story is going to be Johnny Manziel. And I don't think that's good for him. I think he needs to learn how to be behind the scenes as opposed to front and center of the story that appears every week in whatever team he's going to be on.
All right, we're on the same page with this. I want to play something from Jay Gruden in a second, something we teased earlier in the show, some comments that he made about the comparison, Alex Smith and Kirk Cousins. Just a heads up, though, J.K. McKay, who is a director of football ops for the new league, the Alliance of American Football, he'll join us coming up next segment. Look forward to that. Football at the 40s, and then Teek and I and Samther bouncing out of the studio, hopping in a taxi, getting to JFK, Final Four, San Antonio, we're on our way. Okay, let's play this for you. He has to say this.
Yeah.
The question is, though, do we believe him? Here's Jay Gruden on his new quarterback, Alex Smith.
Hopefully it looks better. You know, we're always trying to get better from one year to the next, and how he to the people around him and our system. I think it'll be exciting to watch, but I would think we will be better.
Okay, now if you just hear that comment, you know, it seems relatively benign.
It does.
A fair assessment, fair appraisal. Okay.
And he has to say it. You're right.
Okay. I don't know if he had to say this, and we weren't able to use these quotes, but this is interesting. Now, he was asked about this directly, about whether or not he thinks his team is better with Alex Smith compared to Kirk Cousins. It's a fair question. Yes, without a doubt. Mm. Very definitive. Yes, without a doubt, he says. I don't want to compare two players, but we're always trying to get better at every position. We got better. Alex's experience is well noted, and his record the last 5 years is what it is. You could argue that all you want, but we feel very good. Okay, again, in the position of defending the new acquisition, also somewhat in the position, unfairly, of defending the ineptitude of the Redskins' inability to get Kirk Cousins signed a couple of years ago, which has created this whole mess. So he's got to say this, but did he have to say without a doubt? Like, I don't know. Am I being too literal here?
You are a little bit, okay. But let's also not forget the Redskins, in order for this to be anywhere near to true, this statement by Jay Gruden, they're going to have to get some playmakers because they don't have them right now, right? Jordan Reed, we like the kid, but he can't stay healthy.
He's terrific.
Let's not forget who Alex Smith had in Kansas City. This is just last year, Kareem Hunt. Mm-hmm. He's a rookie. I mean, he's one of the best rookies that we've seen. I think he led the league in receiving this past year and total yards.
Maybe
this past
the MVP
year.
For the first month of the season.
Without a doubt.
Kareem Hunt.
Tyreek Hill is there. Travis Kelce is there. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've had superstar difference makers for Alex Smith.
And look at who Alex had in San Francisco.
I completely
agree. A young Vernon Davis.
I agree.
A young Michael Crabtree.
100%.
Now, a younger Frank Gore.
Who has Kirk Cousins had in Washington? The two best players, Pierre Garçon and D-Jack, you got rid of.
Yeah.
And you're throwing the young players who may or may not even be on the team next year.
That's fair.
So I get what Jay Gruden's saying, and he has to say it. It's a little bit unfair of a characterization of the job that Kirk Cousins did with a depleted and not up to snuff, at least as far as the great teams, the better teams in the league, a talent-wise surrounding him. So I get it, but
I get it too.
I wouldn't take it as literal as I think a lot of people are.
Okay, he did illuminate the right thing because you can't challenge Alex's win-loss record,
no, of course,
which is top two, three in the NFL the past 5 years.
Alex has experience. He's been to the NFC Championship game. He's been a winner. But he's also been a loser, early on with San Francisco. So he knows the process of climbing out of the doldrums and becoming a good program. That's valuable, right? Because he has perspective.
As very resilient.
Exactly.
Of course, man, he's brought it live in the state of Texas.
Okay.
And also baseball tomorrow. Cannot wait, obviously.
Right.
You know, I mean, gave you some thoughts
start
about that.
Spring training, spring training's over, regular season start, but there's already one delay.
I know. I did see that. The Reds are delayed, right?
Yeah, the Reds are delayed because of weather.
So for the first time since the late 60s, all 32 teams will not start. But there it is. That's tomorrow. Baseball, obviously. And Teague, this story caught our attention. It's been on our radar now for about a week or so about the Alliance of American Football. And we're joined by J.K. McKay. McKay, you know the name well from football circles, of course, long entrenched, director of football operations for the aforementioned AAF. I want to get to know a little bit more about it and the vision. J.K., Tiki, and Tierney, how are you today?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Awesome. We have one request before we pump out the Tiki and I need to be the first broadcast team. We need to be the A-team for all future broadcasts here for the AAF. Can we establish that right now?
That is done. The only issue will be whether we pay you anything at all.
Hey, listen. As long as I can do fantasy in the booth, I think I'm okay. And I got to be honest, J.K. When I read the story and we talked about it when it first dropped, and by the way, congratulations. It seems like a very interesting and more importantly, a very viable initiative because you're attacking things that people care about. And unlike other leagues that may fail or fledgling operations, you seem to embrace a concept that most people love, and that is the fantasy aspect. And I think that's very smart on your point and on your part. That was a primary part of your presentation. How did you guys arrive at that, and was everybody on board with that initially?
Absolutely. If people smarter than I at the league level are dealing with that, it's all about, for us, it's about a couple things, this league to me. It's all about the players. It's much a players league. That's why we've got Troy Polamalu and Jared Allen and Justin Tuck and Hines Ward, on to make sure that we're doing everything. We're a partnership with the players.
Yeah.
At the same time, it's about fans, and it's about fan engagement. You know, there's going to be an Alliance app which will live stream all of the games, and at the same time, there'll be in-game fantasy available through the app. So it's things that are beyond me. I'm more of a football guy, but it's I think it's the future, and we have people that really embrace it and are really excited about it.
Yeah, no, you're starting to hear some interesting names as coaches pop up. We just saw Steve Spurrier, Mike Singletary. What's the reality behind those guys getting involved with this on a coaching level?
Well, I'll tell you, we're excited about the coaches that we are talking to. We're finalizing deals. We're going to announce them, all eight, I believe, and all eight cities over the next, call it 6 weeks, in the various cities. But those are, I can't say anything beyond that. I will tell you this, an interesting fact about Coach Spurrier is in 1976, I caught passes from him on the Tampa Bay, when I played for the Tampa Bay Bucks.
Hey, you were the only Buck who caught one that year.
I didn't catch many.
I hear you. J.K. McKay is with us, Director of Football Ops, the Alliance of American Football, talking about that here on Tiki and Tierney.
Now, J.K., interesting because your brother is the president and CEO of the Atlanta Falcons, also the chairman of the Competition Committee of the National Football League. So I wonder, obviously, conversations you've had with him about this league, and what's the relationship with the NFL, if there is one at all?
Well, there isn't a relationship. Well, we like to think that, and you know, obviously, as brothers, we'll talk. I told him, you know, what was being proposed to me, and what the what I was thinking about doing, and you know, and we talk from time to time. But he's got his own job, and
yeah.
this league is. We think it's a complement to the NFL. We don't see it as a developmental league. It's a standalone league. It's in a time of year where nobody else is playing this sport, and what we see it as is a chance for players to either begin their career where they didn't get into the NFL, maybe extend their career, or even in some cases revive their career. You know, so it's an opportunity. It creates jobs, and Tiki, as you know, there's a fine line between the guys that make it and the guys that don't. And sometimes, you know, sometimes guys just need an opportunity to play.
Yeah.
And once you see him play, you kind of say, wow, that guy's better than I thought. He didn't look so good at the combine, but he can play.
Yeah.
You know, so there are a lot of those guys. So I think we'll have an out in our contracts that says, you know, when you're done with us, if you get an opportunity to go on an NFL roster, go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And come back when the time calls. So I think it's a complementary league. I think it creates jobs for players. It creates jobs for coaches and trainers and equipment people. So in that respect, I think everybody should support it.
JK, what's the salary base going to be like for these players? You know what I mean? What are they going to be compensated, and how is that managed?
I'd love to come on your show in a few weeks when I can tell you,
I got you.
The details of this. But it's going to be, I'll tell you this, that in this league we will pay more than any league outside the NFL. And so we think we'll get the next best players, any player that you won't have to leave the country to play in another league. You know, for a while, you know, there was NFL Europe, and then there's Canada. We think we'll keep guys home. That's our hope.
Okay, that's good. J.K. McKay is with us here on Tiki and Tierney. Obviously, respecting your desire to keep it, quiet, and when you guys announce the eight cities and the eight coaches, certainly not trying to pry that from you. But I am curious here, the cross, like in broad terms, geographically speaking, is it going to be a cross section of you know, X amount on the West Coast and X amount on the East Coast? Are some within, you know, are they top 30 markets? Is it accommodate? Like, just give us at least a ballpark, what we can expect geographically, if you can.
Well, there will be a Western division and an Eastern division.
Okay.
But I don't think that tells you a whole lot. Yeah.
No, that's why I'm going to say
furthest,
go ahead.
That's the four teams that are furthest west will be in the Western division.
Yeah, okay.
And,
yeah.
We're still talking with, there's one or two, that we're still talking with people about it. We'll be in a kind of a variety of markets, all what we believe are good markets for football, where we have fans that are interested in football and want to support football. Some NFL cities, some not.
Yeah. Okay, so in theory, you know, you could have a top 15 market and then market 90, whatever. It's not necessarily, there's no, it's broad parameters. I mean, that's obviously open to interpretation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I would say probably a mixed bag, yeah.
Any changes to the, any modifications to the actual field of play in terms of width? I'm sure it's going to be 100 yards, but what about the width of the field? You guys doing anything quirky with that?
No, we're going to play traditional football.
Yeah.
We want it to be real football. That's why we've got guys like Bill Polian at the top of this thing. Bill insists at every turn, and I agree with him, this is going to be real football. Now, the one thing that we have talked about is that we're not going to have kickoffs. It's an unsafe play, and I think if you're reinventing football, and Tiki probably agree with this,
yeah,
if you're reinventing it, you wouldn't have it. It's just too dangerous.
Yeah.
And the interesting part, what we've announced is we're going to have no extra points, only 2-point conversions. And
kickers are going to hate you, JK. The kickers are going to hate
exactly
you.
Exactly right. They always have hated me. But the other thing that's interesting is, you know, you want to do away with kickoffs,
yeah,
but you need an onside kick possibility, right?
Yeah.
But that's a very dangerous play too. So what we've decided to do is, I think it's a really interesting rule, is we're not going to have onside kicks, but you can, after you score a touchdown, you can elect to take the ball at your own 35-yard line, 4th and 10.
Okay.
If you pick up, instead of an onside kick, you'll have your quarterback on the field, your best players on the field, 4th and 10, and if you pick up the first down, you keep the ball. If you don't, you turn the ball over at that point. So that, instead of an onside kick, which is, one, a dangerous play, and also largely based on luck, in
yeah,
my opinion. So I think it's an interesting idea. Bill Polian and I and others sat, and this has been studied in other leagues as well. And, you know, the opportunity to convert a 4th and 10 is probably about between 1 and 4 and 1 and 5. So not dissimilar to what an onside kick would be, but much safer.
Yeah, sounds like you're going to have some brotherly advice for your brother for the competition committee if this should work out for you guys. Look,
I'm sure they'll look at it.
Yeah, definitely, especially if it's successful and then, you know, reduces some injuries. Look, this is a fun league. We can tell already. We're looking forward to it premiering in about a year or so. I'm assuming you and Charlie Ebersole and the folks behind this. Good job, man, and good luck with it.
Thanks. We look forward to you being one of our broadcasters at a very low price.
Not one of the A-team, buddy.
The A-team.
Let's not forget that, JK.
We'll talk to CBS Sports Network about being compensated.
That's right. Roll us in. Opening night. We'll see you, buddy. Thank you.
Thank you, JK.
Hi, man. Thanks.
Awesome. It's pretty cool. We're intrigued, man. There you go.
I am, definitely.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by GEICO. Could save some money. Just go to geico.com, and at 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. Update, ACK in the house. Here's Rich.
I cannot stand this rule. This is the one after 5 yards you can't touch. The defender can't touch. There's already too many rules that benefit the offense. This one doesn't benefit the defense, but it de-burdens the defense. If the guy holds, just call holding.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need a legal contact anymore.
Why not stretch it to 7 yards, too?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be too much?
Yeah, agreed.
And I know it disrupts the route tree, and there's a timing mechanism.
But that's
the
point.
That's
the point.
I know.
Give him an advantage on the defensive side of the ball.
You know they're not doing that.
No.
Can you get rid of an illegal shift? I still barely even, inconsequential is the stupid illegal, what, because his hand's not touching the dirt?
Yeah, exactly.
It drives me insane.
Well, you didn't get set.
Oh,
in a game of imperfections, the perfection of getting set is
you're
going to call a 5-yard penalty after big play happens.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Trust me, that's what it really annoys me. All right, think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. We'll finish up with some hoops. Obviously, we're going down to San Antonio right after the show, and we'll be out there. We'll do our show tomorrow from Radio Row, Friday from Radio Row as well. Saturday's the national semifinal, and as always, the first Monday in April, the national championship game. So we can certainly finish up today's show with that. A lot of great guests going to roll by as always tomorrow. And anytime we go to the Super Bowl, we go away. You expect your A-listers, you'll certainly get them here on Tiki and Tierney. So baseball tomorrow as well. Oh, man. You know, I didn't go to school on opening day, so I almost don't want to work on opening day.
I saw Noah Syndergaard say it should be a national holiday.
It should be.
I mean, maybe.
My parents always let me stay home.
If they're going to make sports national holidays, then they need to make the Super Bowl one as well. Or the Monday after the Super Bowl.
Well, there you go. That would be advantageous to everybody.
Yes.
You know, but I mean, I get it, and I put this on Twitter this morning. A lot of people, first of all, I guess it's holiday. I mean, it's Easter Sunday, so most of the kids are off. I didn't even realize that when I put the tweet out. But this is, usually baseball, their school. When you know, when I was in, and I would have to, I'd have to feign illness every day, every opening day. And, you know, I told you this the other day, started like 2 years in a row, I put my head on the light bulb. And like first I would fool my mom. My dad's like, there's no way he's sick. And then I had to slowly beg and coerce them. And then after, you know, 2 or 3 years, it was opening day. Yankees, you can stay home. You can stay. And I actually always enjoyed watching the Mets as much. Just opening.
Really?
Yeah. Just opening day. I mean, it's different when they hear Mattingly being introduced and Dave Winfield and my guys. But opening day is opening day. I love the red, white, and blue bunting. It's a feeling that I don't get on any other. I'm not saying it's my favorite sporting event.
Yeah.
I mean, I love the Masters. I love the Super Bowl. I love the Final Four. You know what I love. But there's something different. And I guess probably takes me back to my childhood. I think that's really why, you know, baseball opening day feels so special. Plus, it was my sport. You ready to roll football at the 40s?
Yeah, let's get it.
Let's go.
40 kick right hash mark.
40 yards on the return.
A 40-yard touchdown.
40 yards.
You love football. We love football. So we give you football every day. It's Football at the 40 with Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
Right there, Tiki. Let's read the tea leaves there, brother. Somebody ain't telling the truth, and I strongly surmise it's Tiki's Giants who continue to say, no, we don't want to trade Odell Beckham.
No, we don't want him. We want him here.
Oh, he's a big piece of the future. Yet there's reports out there that there are now specific requests as to what the Giants are asking for. The Giants reportedly want 2 first-rounders to begin the conversation with Beckham.
Good.
Is he worth it if you're the team willing to give up 2 first-rounders?
Yes, and you know why he's worth it, BT?
I don't think he is, but go ahead.
You know why?
Why?
Because he's a game-changing type player.
Yeah.
We know this. We've seen this. And he's only making $8 million, and you have him under control for the next 2 years if you trade for him. So, yeah, he's definitely worth 2 first-rounders. If you're whatever team trying to give up or trying to get him for the New York Giants.
Well, that's the caveat. It really does depend on the team. If I'm the Rams, it's probably worth it. It's worth it.
Yeah.
If I'm a team like...
Rams are going all in.
No doubt. As they should. I mean, they were right there a year ago. The team that's clearly rebuilding right now. That we'd say, we know the Browns, but forget about them just for a second. They already picked up Landry. You know, I don't think you go out and get Beckham.
Make them team again.
They would trade with the right? They would never trade with the Jets, even though the Jets are rebuilding. Who's a rebuilding team? Bills made the playoffs, so you can't say they're rebuilding.
Yeah,
Bengals, maybe? Want to say the Bengals?
Yeah.
Somewhat rebuilding.
But they need somebody. They need a even though they have A.J. Green.
It's hard.
Miami, maybe?
Yeah, but they just got rid of Landry. Just take a rebuilding team, just to continue the conversation. And otherwise, we'll be on the treadmill all day.
It's funny we can't think of one.
I mean, the Niners, I think you could say that. Yeah. Maybe the 49ers there. If you're rebuilding and you still have other holes to plug, it's not worth it. Mm. That's why it's very specific. I need to know the team that's making the acquisition.
Yeah.
If it's the Rams, yeah, I would do it. If it's the Saints, yeah, I would do it. Not that they really need, but... Teams that are ready to win now, yeah, I do it. The Packers, yeah. The Lions, even to a let. But if you're a team that won 3 or 4 games, I can't give up 2 first-round picks for Odell Beckham.
Yeah.
Because as much as you tell me he changes there, he's changed nothing for the Giants.
What about the New England Patriots? whose first-round pick is always 30, 31, 32?
That's part of the equation. Didn't the other part is you want to maximize whatever's left of Brady's professional career. That's a unique one. And if I'm the Pats, I would say yes.
Yeah.
I would. Okay, moving on here. Teak, how about this? Jason Garrett, speaking of wide receivers, now they picked up Allen Hurns, we know that. Mm-hmm. He signed with them. And Garrett said at the owners' meeting that despite the signing of Hurns, that it's not an indication that they're about to get rid of Dez Bryant. Yeah, what's your thoughts on this?
I would agree with that. They need another playmaker in the wide receiving room. Dez Bryant may or may not agree to take a pay cut. And so... Hurns is a little bit insurance, but it's also an upgrade. Dez is getting old. It is what it is. His effectiveness has gone down. But I do believe that they want to keep him, but they just need him to take less and take a different type role for this team. Be the old hat. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Be the old G
who's
helping all the young kids. Obviously, he's still going to be productive, but it's a role that he hasn't yet embraced. But once he does... I think there's a role for him with the Cowboys.
One of the great things about the Cowboys is that they really value and respect their own.
Yes.
One of the downfalls of the Cowboys is that they really value and respect their own.
That's a good point.
And I don't know that they always know when it's time to end the marriage. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that it's time to end it now, but I don't think they've been upfront or they haven't been authoritative enough with Dez respectfully authoritative. Hey, Dez, it's time to, it's time to, in your own mind, recalibrate who you are so you can stay with us and help us moving
and
forward.
You can do that. Keep you. You can do that. The perfect example is Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah, but Larry was amenable to it.
That's what I mean. Okay. That's what I mean. The example that it can be done.
Oh, no question.
You can take a guy who was a superstar, you know, leading the league in wide receiving type and say, look, we're going to put you in a different role.
Yep.
Put you in a slot. You got to do different things, but we want you here.
He's also got a I know there's a lot of Dez lovers out there. Larry Fitzgerald's skill set, I mean, he could catch a fly, you know, with a thimble.
Yeah.
I mean, Dez Bryant drops, he drops touchdowns.
Yeah,
he dropped one against the Giants this year, you know? All right, how about this? The price tag for the Rams Stadium.
Getting out of control here.
This thing better be sweet.
Yeah.
I mean, you know how they have those jacuzzis in Jacksonville? They better have jacuzzis and strippers. somebody better be in those jacuzzis waiting for people if you're paying $5 billion. $5 billion!
Yeah.
What in the world is this thing going to look like? More importantly, you might want to put like every single NFL function there.
Yeah.
The draft, the Super Bowl. You got to utilize. This thing's going to be insane.
You're half joking about that, BT. I think that's what they actually want to do.
It's a smart plan.
The rumor, the thought is that this new Rams facility is actually going to become NFL West.
Look at that.
So NFL Media.
NFL Network?
NFL Media.
NFL Network too?
Maybe.
So there was an early report.
Maybe.
When they first launched
possibly.
This.
I mean, they want to make this
thing's going to be awesome. The
standard for the NFL out west.
Uh-huh.
And it's interesting because you look in New York City, I forget where it is on Park Avenue, the Park Avenue
the league office you're talking about?
I mean, it's beautiful. You go in there, it's fantastic. You got all the trophies. And if you're in L.A., it's a different presentation you want to put on. And for a multi-billion-dollar company, NFL, the multi-billion-dollar company.
Uh-huh.
You want to have a presence that says, "Man, we're a billion-dollar company."
Mm.
It looks like Stan Kroenke might be the one building that for them.
Unlike the pair of braces they built off Ruth Reed for the Jets and the Giants,
agreed.
That stadium is atrocious. All right, how about this? Let's get to Le'Veon Bell.
I like that pair of braces.
I mean, that's what it looks like. Can you be less creative in building a stadium? It's that mall that's been they've been building that for 15 years next to the Xanadu project, whatever the hell.
Oh, that thing ran out of money like a decade ago.
Oh, God. Really, I can't stand going to that stadium.
There's a ski slope in it or something.
I think that was the initial plan. And the colors, it looks like a trip from the 1970s.
Dystopian Dr. Seuss novel.
Yeah, it's weird.
What are we going to Dubai? Going to ski and decide? What's going on here?
I don't know what they were thinking. Whatever.
There's ski mountains just about 30, 40 miles away. You don't have to build one on Meadowlands.
I think it'll be finished at some point,
eventually.
Le'Veon Bell, you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
He wants $17 million a season.
That's
a lot of cash. The same that Antonio Brown gets here. I mean,
as valuable to the Steelers as Antonio Brown? That's the question.
I think you can make the case he's more valuable.
Then $17 million should be the right number,
right? But it's never going to happen.
That's
why it's not fair.
You know why? Because you don't give running backs that kind of money.
Boom.
And it's not going to happen immediately because you have him on a $14 million deal. Even if you franchise him again and he gets whatever it is, 35% bump over what he's making this year, he's still going to make less than that. So the Steelers have all the control here. Le'Veon Bell has stated that he is going to not hold out, but not participate in the offseason. He's not going to participate in training camp, but is not going to miss any of the games. So he'll be back week one, which kind of makes his holdout, I'll use that in quotes, holdout.
Hollow.
Hollow. There's no strength behind it.
But it's pretty predictable if you tell everybody
exactly
what you're going to do.
Yeah, I'm
going to
play for $14 million as long as I don't get a bigger deal.
Yeah, and you know, last year when he went through a similar set of circumstances here, you know, we were trying to calculate team chemistry. Big Ben wasn't necessarily enthralled with his decision to show up late. But you know what? One thing about him, he gets his body ready.
Dude, he's a baller.
And it didn't take him too long to get that adjusted season.
We love him. We love him.
He's a beast.
He's such a great performer.
Yeah.
And he does exactly what you expect and want him to do when he's out on the football field. You should be paid for that. It's just a matter of coming to an amenable price with the Steelers.
Yeah, which doesn't seem like it's going to happen.
It doesn't at all.
Okay. How about this? Mark Sanchez. Now, Mark Sanchez is already 31 years of age. Mm. Rookie year, second year, AFC title game with the Jets, and then all of a sudden kind of things went awry. A couple of years with Philly, obviously, as a backup. Spent last year with Dallas, 2016 with Dallas. Then he got hurt. Mark Sanchez right now, obviously in a backup role based on what happened with Trayvon or what reportedly, allegedly happened. He has profusely denied those with great vigor. So we'll see what happens there. We're not here to judge. I don't know what happened.
It took a long time for them to pull the, you know, make the decision to part ways with him, though.
Well, he is
this
gone.
Has gone on for a while.
So they need a backup, and it looks like they're going to look to Mark Sanchez. I think Mark Sanchez is a good backup because he knows his role and he's a good team guy.
He's gotten past the I need to be a starter in the league. He's had some success, as you mentioned, in the AFC Championship game a couple years with the Jets. He's smart, and I think he can be an asset for the Seahawks squad. It's an interesting, though, question. You know, you hear John Gruden talking about, I'm surprised that Colin Kaepernick's not back in the game. Remember last year when there were rumors about Cap going, Seattle was one of the places that was rumored to be thinking about Colin Kaepernick. You think Colin Kaepernick gets a shot or a look here?
Mm.
Maybe.
We'll see.
I doubt it, but we'll see.
I'm with you.
That was Football at the 40 with Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
By the way, this just came in as well. Cody Kessler traded Jaguars.
Oh, interesting.
So now, I mean, not that that really
not that he's going to
challenges the
not going to disturb
Earth's
whatever
rotation, but he is no longer a Brown. He's with the Jaguar. All right, brother. So we got to hustle here, and hopefully we get dealt some decent cards as we get ready to go to the airport. I can't wait. And listen, I'm not trying to shortchange the first game because Loyola's an incredible story, no doubt. You know, I really hope I run into her somewhere. Yeah. God, I want to see her. I will push her wheelchair up and down the street. I will bring her into Radio Row. I will do whatever Sister Jean wants me to do. I will do anything for that woman.
I kind of wish we were hanging around until Saturday because that's when she's going to be around a lot.
I don't know. Maybe she's going to party a little bit. She's got to get in town early, man. Come on.
Because I did my podcast with Charles Barkley, and I asked Charles, I was like, when are you meeting Sister Jean? She's like, yeah, we're going to hang out on Saturday. I'm like, man, that'd be cool to see whatever they're going to do. I'm sure it'll be televised.
Who did you have?
Charles Barkley. Sir Charles.
Charles Barkley on what?
On my podcast.
Why was he not on the show?
Sir Charles.
Why was he not on this show?
Because he wanted to do my podcast.
I don't care about you. I care
Sir
about
Charles
your podcast, but I don't.
Wanted to do my podcast.
But why did he not want to do the show?
He didn't have time to do the show. We had to do it early.
Oh, here we go. You see how it works now?
He did invite me down to play golf in Philly.
I don't care about that. You want to play golf with him? No, you don't want to play golf with him.
Wow. You think I'm worse?
You have to be better than him. I think everybody. I really think everybody alive is better.
Than
I
could take
Barkley
some money from him then because I know he likes to gamble.
Yeah, he does
on the course.
He does
take some money.
All right, so you got a money podcast. Yep. He's going to hang out with Sister Jean. We'll be heading out there after the show here in a couple of minutes, as we said. But I'll tell you, the Kansas Villanova game.
Yeah.
And I said this yesterday. We were talking about this with one of the assistants from Kansas, who's a great guy, by the way. Really good interview. I said, you know, if Spellman plays well for Villanova, that's your greatest challenge, and that's my wild card. If Amari Spellman plays well for Villanova, they will win. Yep. If not, they won't.
I'm sticking by it. The Duke-Kansas game was great. We said this yesterday. We'll say it all week. We'll say it tomorrow and then the day after that. This Kansas-Villanova game is going to be amazing.
Ah, can't wait. All right, let's get the luggage. We'll get in the Uber. We will see you in San Antonio. Have a great Wednesday, and we'll catch you in Texas. Peace. Got
to
go.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.